Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
2019 is our year of acceleration, our year of acceleration, and we have said that our acceleration is coming out of our association. It's coming out of our association with Jesus. We took that scripture in John 15, verse 5, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you will remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. Okay, so we know that when we are fruitful, God is helping us go further, faster. When we are fruitful, we experience that divine acceleration in our lives. And so it's not just about us having the right confession about Christ, it's about us having a daily connection with Christ. You see, you can have the right confession about Christ, that he is Lord and that he is Savior, but it's not just about having that confession of faith, it's about daily connecting with Jesus. And now, whenever we daily connect with Jesus, there should be a few things that begin to show up in our lives, and those two things are discipleship and evangelism. Everybody say discipleship. Discipleship. Say evangelism. If you grew up in church or if you've been in church for a long time, those words may sound familiar. But if you're just joining our faith community, you might not really understand what those words really mean. Well, I'll tell you, here at North Point, the way we define discipleship is we define discipleship as our process to progress, our process to progress. Because you're not going to be everything that God created you to be because you pray one prayer. You're not going to be everything that God created you to be because you come to a month of church. It doesn't happen that way. No, there is a process that you put yourself into, and as you walk through that process, you begin to experience the progress that God created you for. That is our discipleship. It's the process of us transforming our lives into the image of God. So that's what discipleship is, but let me define evangelism for you as we begin to work our way through a new series today focused on evangelism. We're going to define evangelism as this. It's the process of proclaiming. So we have the process to our progress, which is discipleship, but evangelism is just the process of me proclaiming the goodness of God, me proclaiming what God has done in my life. It's just me telling the story about the good things that God has done and is doing in my life today. So if we say that discipleship is the process of me transforming, then evangelism would be the process of me transferring. It's not just that I'm being transformed, it's that I'm transferring what God is doing in me and I'm telling other people about how good God really is. So today we're starting a brand new 5-week series and it's entitled Come and See. Come and See. And we're going to be talking about evangelism. Now, if you've been in church for a long time, that word might be a little intimidating, and you're sitting here in the seat and you're thinking, man, I don't want to hear 5 weeks about me having to tell other people about Jesus, and it can be intimidating, and your palms start sweating, and you're like, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a theologian, I don't know, and you're already like, oh God, I can't deal with this. Just look at your neighbor right now and say, relax, okay? Look at him, tell him, relax, 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 relax. It's going to be good. Tell them it's going to be good. Tell them it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Come on, let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, starting in verse 43. Here in John chapter 1, Jesus is just starting his ministry. He's just been baptized by John the Baptist, as we call him. He's come up out of the water. And the Holy Spirit has descended upon him. And all of those great things happen in the first part of John chapter 1. And then Jesus begins his ministry. And he begins to call disciples to himself. And the Bible says this in verse 43. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, come, follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. as they approached Jesus, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you that I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth. You will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, and the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." For the next 5 weeks, we're going to be parked right here in this story of Philip and Nathanael and Jesus, and it's going to be a great 5 weeks. But today I want to talk to you specifically on this topic, finding a good thing, finding a good thing. Let's pray. Father, in the next few moments, I ask that you would do what only you can do. Mold us and make us into everything that you created and designed for us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody in the room said, amen. Hey, before we get started today, I need to know, where are my shoppers at? Where are my shoppers at? Come on, if you're a shopper, wave at me. I need all my shoppers. Come on. Hey, don't be bashful. Come on. I need to know, who am I talking to right now? Okay. All my friends are waving at me right now. All of my friends are waving at me right now. You know, you're not a shopper just because you like to go to the fancy stores. You're a shopper when you like to get nitty gritty and look for the deals. You're a real shopper when you like to go to TJ Maxx and Ross, and when you like to get in there and dig around in the clearance rack. You know, that's how you know you are a real shopper. And when you're a real shopper, nobody has to tell you when you found a good deal. You know it when you see it. Nobody has to prove to you how good the deal is. You know a good deal whenever you find one. You know, there are people like my mom that think that shopping is a sport. And I'm telling you, I was raised in the store from the time I was four. Okay, I have been trained to shop. My mom used to take me every day to the store. I mean, I've been shopping all my life. I mean, I've been in strict training for this. That's how I can go in the store today and I can find it. I just sniff. I can find the deal. I mean, I know what I'm looking for. I know where it is. Oh, I just love. I'm telling you right now, you put me in an outlet mall, it's a taste of heaven for me. I'm telling you. You put me in a tree stand with a gun or standing beside a lake with a fishing pole, it's a little more like hell than heaven, but I'm just saying. But I don't want our hunters to be left out. I don't want our hunters to be left out because a lot of people in here hunt and you don't like to shop. So let me break it down for you. Hunters, whenever you go into the woods, and I would not know anything about this, but whenever you go into the woods, I know that you know what you're looking for. When you go into the woods, you know what you're looking for, and whenever that 8-point buck comes walking out there and you got that gun, you know what you're looking for, and you shoot it. And if you're a good church member, you bring me some of the meat. You know what whether you're a shopper or a hunter, you know what you are looking for. And right here in this story, at this time in history, as we're reading about, the Jewish people knew what they were looking for. They had been praying for this Messiah. They had been expecting this Messiah. They were eagerly looking for the Messiah to come. And here Philip has an encounter with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And as soon as Philip has this encounter with Jesus, he says, "This is the one. This is what we have always been looking for." And can I tell you that today, people all over the world are looking for things. Today, all over the world, people are looking for peace. And people are looking for joy. Today, all over the world, people are looking for love. They are looking for meaning and for purpose. Today, all over the world, people are looking for hope and people are looking for help. And today, all over the world, people are looking for more. They want to know that there's more to life than just existing. There's more to life than me just breathing in oxygen and pushing out carbon dioxide. There's more to life than just what I have experienced to this point. All over the world today, people are looking. And so because of that, all over the world today, Jesus is still showing up for people. Jesus is showing up because he is everything that we are looking for. Jesus shows up, and you know what? I'm so glad this morning. I'm so glad this morning that there are not prerequisites required for Jesus to show up and invite us into his family. I'm so glad that we don't have to have the right family pedigree. I'm so glad that we don't have to have all kinds of advanced college degrees. I am so glad that Jesus will show up to everyone and anyone who is willing to invite him in. I am so glad that Jesus did not come for the religious elite. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't come just for one culture. I'm so glad that when God sent Jesus, he sent him for the entire world. That whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I just have a few questions for you today. A few questions as we work our way through this story, the beginning part of the story. And my first question for you today is this. Have you found a good thing? Have you found a good thing? We know that Philip found a good thing. Philip was certain about it. Philip was certain about it, and he ran and told his friend Nathanael. This is what he said. He says, "We have found the very person." He didn't say, "We might have found him." He didn't run and say, "Hey, it's a possibility." He didn't say, "Hey, it's 50-50, 80-20. No, he ran and he said, "We have found the one. We have found the very person that the prophets and Moses had told us was coming. We have found him, and his name is Jesus." You see, how do we know if we've really found a good thing? We know we have found a good thing when we begin to follow that good thing. Today, if you're wondering, like, have I really found the good thing? Have I really found that in my life? Then the only question to ask yourself is, are you following the good thing? Because this is what happens whenever Jesus comes to Philip, and it says there in verse 43, he says, he found Philip and he said to him, "Come and follow me." We know that Philip found the good thing because he began to follow what he had found. He begins to follow after Jesus. And if you wonder, like, what does that really look like? What does it look like to follow Jesus? We just came out of a 5-week series, and you can go back on our podcast and you can listen to those 5 weeks. What does it look like when we follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? But I can tell you what your life begins to look like whenever you find what you're looking for, whenever you find your good thing, you will begin to follow what you found. You see, these people began to follow Jesus, and they knew that they had found a good thing. And there comes this story in John chapter 6 where Jesus begins to, and he really begins to say some really hard things, and he begins to talk about some things that they don't completely understand. And in John chapter 6, Jesus starts talking about, if you're going to be a part of me, you got to eat my flesh, you got to drink my blood. And they weren't understanding what Jesus was talking about. He says, you got to lay down your life. And he starts really going after it. And some of his followers start to abandon him. And what it says in verse 66, it says, "And after this, a lot of his disciples left. They no longer wanted to be associated with him. Then Jesus gave the 12 their chance. Do you also want to leave? Peter replied, Master, to whom would we go? You have the words of real life, eternal life. We've already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One of God." The disciples say, "Where else are we going to go? Who else can do for us what you have done for us? Who else can talk to us about real life while we focus on eternal life? Who can do for us what you have done?" You see, they had found their good thing, and they had committed to following that good thing. That's how you know if you've really found a good thing. Are you committed to following what you found? Here's the second question that I would propose to you today, and that is, have you discovered how good the good thing is? Not just have you found a good thing, but have you discovered how good the good thing is? You see, you have Philip, Peter, Andrew, James, John, some of the disciples there. They were just a few of the 12, and They all left everything they were doing to follow Jesus. Some of them were tax collectors, some of them were fishermen, but they left whatever they were doing to go and follow Jesus. They found their good thing, and then they followed that good thing, but here's what they all discovered. They all discovered that the good thing is better than they thought it was. There's no way when they first followed Jesus that they understood fully how good Jesus really was. There's no way. The first time that you hear the good news of Jesus Christ, the first time that you hear that Jesus came and died for you so that your sins could be forgiven and so that you could spend eternity in heaven, the first time that you hear that Jesus came so that you could have an abundant life, a life that is overflowing with joy, peace, purpose, and patience, the moment that you hear that, I'm telling you, that is good news, but there's no way that you could know how good that good news really is. The only way you find out how good the good news is you begin to follow closely to that good thing. And the more you walk with the good thing you found, the more you find out how good it really is. See, there's no way whenever Jesus stood up in Luke chapter 4 and he reads out of the scroll of Isaiah and he's reading this about himself, there's no way the disciples fully understood when Jesus said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." There's no way that they understood how good what he just said really was. But here's what happens. As you find your good thing and you begin to follow closely to that good thing that you have found, what you discover is that Jesus heals and Jesus reveals. You find that Jesus begins to heal things in your heart that you didn't even know was possible. You thought you were going to have to live with that wound forever. You thought you were going to have to live with the words that your father had spoken over you forever. You thought you were going to have to live with what happened to you in the sixth grade forever. You thought that that wound was going to be there and you were just going to have to deal with it for the rest of your life. But Jesus comes, he says, "No, wait a minute, I am your healer. I am the one who can heal all of your wounds." But you only realize he's that good whenever you're following close. But he doesn't just heal, he reveals. And Jesus comes and he begins to reveal some things to us. And you know what he reveals to us? He reveals things that are hindering us from becoming everything he created us to be. So he comes and he begins to reveal to us lies that we have believed about ourselves. He begins to reveal some false beliefs that we have believed about God that are keeping us from flourishing in our connection with him. Jesus comes and he begins to reveal some things in us, some traps that we've been in, and he begins to reveal that for the purpose of bringing us out of that into everything that he desires us to be. Amen. See, Jesus doesn't just heal and reveal, though. We find out that Jesus also sees and he frees. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees your pain and he sees your promise. Jesus sees where you are and where you can be. Jesus sees your past and he sees your future. Jesus sees your struggle. Jesus knows exactly where you are. He sees you for who you are today, and all he wants to do is to help you see him for who he is today. Jesus sees you, but he wants to help you see. He wants to help you see him. He wants to help you see yourself. He wants to help you see your future that you were created to live. He wants to come and help the blind see. And we are blind. And Jesus says, "I want to help you see." But can I tell you, you don't get to experience that unless you are following closely to the good thing. Because when you follow closely to the good thing, you realize that the good thing just gets better and better. And when Jesus says that the time of the Lord's favor has come, there's no way. There's no way they understood the magnitude of what he said. There's no way that they understood what Jesus would tell them later. He says, "My joy I give to you, and I give you my joy so that your joy will overflow." There's no way that they understood that they were going to get to experience that supernatural joy. He says, the peace that I give you, the peace I give you is a type of peace that the world cannot give. That means that peace is supernatural. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you that peace. And when you live with that level of joy and that level of peace, can I tell you, that is evidence of the Lord's favor. And Jesus says, the Lord's favor has now come. Now it is time for you to live in the overflow of joy and the overflow of peace and the overflow of power and the overflow of freedom. This is the time for you to live a life that you never thought you were able to live, because this is the season of the Lord's favor in your life. Amen. There's no way that they could have understood that. They knew it was a good thing. I mean, come on, Peter and Andrew, they were out there fishing. They left their nets to go after Jesus. They knew it was a good thing. Yeah. Matthew was in his tax collector booth doing his little thing. Next thing you know, he's walking away from that. Just, I don't know what he just left it all. Left that problem for somebody else. And he begins to follow after Jesus. They left what they had because they knew it was a good thing. But do you know how good the good thing really is? See, the good thing just keeps getting better and better the closer you follow. Here's my third question for you today. Have you shared the good thing with others? Have you shared the good thing with others? Have you found the good thing today? Have you discovered and are you continuing to discover how good the good thing is? And have you shared the good thing with others? What happens when people find a good documentary on Netflix? What happens when people find an awesome new restaurant in town? What happens when people read a great book? What happens when they find an amazing product on Amazon? What happens when people find, they tell everybody. Yeah. They will tell so many people that they will start annoying you. They will tell you three times and get upset with you because you haven't gone to the new restaurant, you haven't bought the book, and you haven't checked out that product on Amazon, and you haven't watched that documentary yet, and they are upset with you because they've been telling you how good it is. When we find a good thing, we tell others about it. And that's exactly what happened to Philip right here. Philip found a good thing. And he goes to Nathanael in verse 45, and it says he went to look for Nathanael, and he told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus. What he was saying was, hey, I found a good thing. I found a good thing, and this thing is probably even better than I think it's going to be. And I'm going to go and tell somebody. You see, this is just the logical progression. This is the logical progression. This is what we do whenever we read a book. We find a book, we read the book, we realize how amazing the book is, we tell other people about the book. We watch the movie was awesome, we discover how awesome the movie is. When the movie is over, we text three people and tell them, you gotta go see that movie. This is the logical progression. Why is this the logical progression with everything in life, but it's not the logical progression we use with the gospel? Wow. We find good things and we tell. This is the logical progression. And the process just keeps repeating itself. Here's the coolest thing about it, is because whenever you find the good thing and you start to follow that good thing closely and you realize that the good thing is even better than you thought it was, what happens, and then you begin to tell people, what happens is the process just repeats itself over and over and over. Yeah. I've been preaching the gospel for 22 years. 22 years ago, I knew it was a good thing. Today, I'll tell you, it's better than I even thought. Why? Because I keep learning more and more about God. And I keep reading his word. And as I read his word, I find out there are more promises. As I read the word, God keeps speaking to me about who he is and about who I am. And I keep having revelations about his love and about his grace and about his power. And God keeps changing me. And so the more I find out about how good he really is, the more I want to tell people about how good he is. I'm not telling people today off of what I discovered in 1996. Come on. I'm telling people today because I discovered something on Tuesday. That's how good God is that he keeps, so this process just keeps on repeating itself. This is the logical progression. I find a good thing, I discover how good that good thing is, and I tell other people. I find a good thing, I discover how good that thing is, and I tell other people. I find a good thing, I discover how good it is, and I tell other people. And this is the process that repeats itself all of our lives. So I asked you, have you shared the good thing with others? What would happen if I added a word to that and I would say, have you shared that good things with others recently? Because what I found is that there's a lot of people that love to live off of 20 years ago. Oh man, I tell you what, I used to be out there knocking on those doors. Oh man, I'm telling you right now, I used to invite everybody to church, and they say it because and they feel like they're still doing it now, but the reality of it is that was 2 decades ago. And if we're not careful, we can fall into that because just because we were out there sharing the good news 10 years ago doesn't mean that we did it 10 days ago. Come on, my God. So we have to ask ourselves, have I shared this good thing recently? Have I done it lately? So if this is the logical progression that I find it, I discover how good it is, and I tell people about it, that's the logical progression of everything in our life, should be the logical progression of our of the gospel, what we do with the gospel. Here's a question that I would present to you today. Just a couple things as we close today. What prevents us from doing that? Okay? Nothing keeps you from telling your friend about the movie, right? Okay? Nothing prevents you from telling your friend about the restaurant, okay? But there's something in us that prevents us from telling other people about what God has done in our lives. Okay, I would just propose to you, and this is the 11:15 special. 9:30 did not get this, but 11:15 special right here. I would propose to you, because if they don't like your restaurant, you don't really care that much. If they don't like the book that you like, If they don't like the movie, you say, you're a sci-fi person, I'm an action person, it just didn't work out. We have different things. But if they say they don't like your Jesus, okay, it's going to sting a little bit. So we allow some things to prevent us from following this logical progression that we obey in every other area of life. But because this one's a little bit more personal, it's going to hurt me a little bit deeper maybe if you try to disagree with me or you try to go a different way. I'm not going to go there because I don't want it to offend me or hurt me or upset me or make me angry. So I'm not going to share because I don't want to experience that. Okay, so there's some things that prevent us. So let me just give you these three things, and then we're gonna wrap up today. Here's the first thing that can prevent us from sharing, and that is we don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Can I put you at ease right now and tell you there is no perfect or proper way to share the good news? There is no perfect or proper way to do it. If you are waiting to learn how to share the gospel properly and perfectly, you will be waiting for the rest of your life because there is no perfect or proper way. It just needs to be shared. And it needs to be shared in the way that you feel comfortable sharing the good news. Because the good news is ultimately your story. That's what it is. It's your story about what God is doing in your life. But we don't share because we don't know exactly what to say. You know, I heard somebody tell me one time, they said, I don't want to ruin it. You cannot ruin the good news. The good news is too good for you to ruin. You're not powerful enough to ruin the good news. The good news has been shared for 2,000 years in all different languages and in all different cultures all over the world. You cannot ruin the story of God. Come on. It's bigger than you. Yes, yes, yes. People say, I don't know what to say. See, Philip didn't have all the answers in the story. When Philip ran to Nathanael, it said he went looking for Nathanael. He was going to Nathanael. When he got to Nathanael, he says, hey, we have found the one. And Nathanael pushes back a little bit, doesn't he? Yeah. From Nazareth? Man, come on, Philip. You know better than that. Really, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, the one that we've been waiting on for all of these years. You telling me he's coming from Nazareth? Yeah, right, whatever. Philip didn't engage in a theological debate. He didn't say, let me go get the scrolls and I'll read. No, that's not what he did. This is what he said. He said, hey, just come and see for yourself. I'm telling you, when I saw him, I knew. When I heard him, I knew. You just got to come and check this out for yourself. Come and see. When you don't know what to say, it is okay. You can follow the pattern of Philip and just say, come and see. You can tell your friend, just come and see what's happening at North Point Community Church. Come and see what God is doing in my life. I can't even explain it. I can't put words around it. I don't even know fully what's happening, but something is happening, and you just need to come and see. It's okay. It's okay. Just say, come and see. Come and see. Don't let when you don't know what to say, prevent you from sharing the good thing. Here's the second thing that can prevent us, and that is we don't know who to tell. It's not only that I don't know what to say, but I mean, who do I tell? Let me just give you a little advice. I would say, first of all, start by telling people who already know you a little bit. People who know you're not a lunatic, okay? Just start there. Just start by telling those people. You got a little track record. They don't have to be your bestie, but just start. Just start with telling people who know you a little bit. Just start by telling them about what's happening in your heart, about what's happening in your life. Even if you can't fully explain it, just say, man, something's happening in my life, and God's changing some things in me, and I feel something that I've never felt before. And you can begin to tell those people that you're close to. After you tell them, you say, who's kind of the next audience? You know, you can look for a captive audience. It's like when you sit down on an airplane, they can't go anywhere. That's a captive audience. Amen. You can share in that place. And eventually you just begin to share with anyone and everyone. But can I tell you, don't make the mistake of falling into the trap of waking up and saying, God, if today you will just shine a beam of light out of heaven upon one person today, then I will share the gospel with them. God, today, if you will let a little fairy float down from heaven and perch on somebody's right shoulder, I will know that that's the person that you want me to share with. Can I tell you, if that is your prayer, you will never share with anybody. But if you pray every day and saying, God, help me today to share with somebody. Yeah. Help me today to just see somebody and just share the hope that is in you. Help me to share with somebody today what you've done in my life that you can do in their life as well. See, don't let not knowing who to tell keep you from telling about the good thing. And finally, the last thing that can prevent you from sharing, it's not just what you don't know what to say or you don't know who to tell. It's that you don't know how they will respond. So many times this is the thing that keeps us from telling about the good thing, is I don't know how they will respond. Listen to me carefully. You need to write this down. How they respond is not our responsibility. How they respond is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is that they have an opportunity to respond. We are not responsible for how they respond, but we do have a responsibility, and our responsibility is to give them an opportunity to have a response. So many times we worry about what they will say, and we say nothing. We say nothing because we're so worried about what they will say. We don't know what they're going to say, so we don't even give them a chance to say anything. And I am so glad that Philip didn't allow these hangups to keep him from going to Nathanael. Because Nathanael becomes a follower of Jesus. And not just a follower of Jesus, Nathanael gets in the inner circle of Jesus. He becomes one of Jesus' 12 disciples who became the apostles of the early church. I'm so glad that when Philip saw Jesus, he didn't say, oh man, I don't know what to say to my friend. I don't know what to say. Why would I go to Nathanael? I don't even know what to say. And I'm probably going to mess it up anyway. And if I'm going to mess it up, why am I even going to go? I don't know what to say. Or I don't know who to tell. I don't know. Should I tell him? Should I tell her? Should I tell my mom? Should I tell? Who should I? I don't know who to tell. And there's so many people to tell. And I just get paralyzed because there's so many people to tell that I don't know who I should go tell. So glad that didn't happen to Philip. And I'm so glad that Philip didn't say, well, I don't know how Nathaniel's going to respond. He might not want to come see Jesus. He might not want this life that I'm going after. I'm so glad that he did not let those things prevent him, but instead, he found his good thing. He knew that this good thing is going to be better than I even think it is. And he ran to tell Nathaniel, and he said, Nathaniel, you got to come and see this. We found him, the one we've been waiting on. The one who will heal our hurts, the one who will forgive our sins, the one who is the hope of the world. We have found that one that we have been waiting for. So glad. Philip didn't let anything prevent him from telling Nathaniel about the good thing that he had found. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about what has allowed me for 22 years now of preaching the gospel, 22 years of telling my Jesus story, 22 years, what has allowed me to continue to share this good thing? And when I thought about that, the thing that just kept coming to my mind is the anticipation of what God can and will do in another person's life. I've shared before and people's like, yeah, good for you. It's not for me. I've preached my heart out before and people are like, yeah, I still don't believe. Same thing happened to Jesus and his disciples. Not everybody was just jumping on board. They had opposition. They had resistance. They had people that chose not to believe, but they never stopped proclaiming the good news because somebody else did not believe. Instead, they just moved to the next person because there was so much anticipation because they knew they had found a good thing. They knew it was better than they even thought it was, and they're going to go and share this good thing because they knew what it had done for them. So my challenge to you today is once you find a good thing, go find somebody else who needs a good thing. Once you find a good thing, you know you have found the good thing and you are following closely to the good thing that you found, then you need to go find somebody else and give them the opportunity to experience what God is doing in your life today. Come on, will you stand with me? Bow your heads just for a moment. Now, as you just close your eyes and bow your head just for a moment, there's a reason the first question today was, have you found a good thing? Have you found a good thing? Have you really found a good thing? I want you to think about that for a moment. Right now in the quietness and the stillness of this moment, have you found a good thing? How do you know if you found that good thing? Are you following closely to the good thing that you found? See, when I ask you today, did you find a good thing? I'm not asking you, do you believe in God? I'm not asking you, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm not even asking you, were you baptized when you were 8? I'm not asking you, did you join a church when you were 18? That's not what I'm asking you today. What I'm asking you today, when I say, have you found a good thing? What I'm saying is, are you following closely to that good thing? Today, I'm not going to ask you to step out in the aisle. Today, I'm not going to invite you down to the front. But right there where you are in your seat, and you know, Philip, I'm not following as closely as I want to follow. I don't want to have just heard about a good thing. I want to find a good thing, and I want to follow that good thing. Right now, is every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. This is not between you and your neighbor. This is between you and your Creator. You say, Philip, you are talking to me right now. You say, I'm ready to begin to follow Jesus more closely. I found a good thing, and I want to follow that good thing with all of my heart. If that's you, come on, just lift up your hand right now, right there where you are. Say, Philip, you're talking to me right now. I want to follow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to follow that good thing. Thank you, thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, how many of you would say today, I want to begin to share this good thing with others? I don't want to just find a good thing and follow a good thing and discover that the good thing is even better than I thought it was. I don't want to just live my life like that. No, I want to go and share the thing. I found it. I want to go find other people so I can share with them what God has done in my life. You say, I want to enter into this thing called evangelism. I want to enter into this process of proclaiming. I want to enter into me just telling my story about what God is doing in my heart and in my life. And even if I don't have the words to put around it, I want to say, come and see. Come and check it out. Come and experience what God is doing in my life. You say, that's me today, Philip. That's me. I want to begin to share the good thing that I have found. Come on, lift up your hand right now all over this place. Lift it up. Say, that's me. I want to begin to share it. I want to begin to share it. I'm not going to let anything prevent me. I'm not going to let, because I don't know exactly what to say. I don't know exactly who to tell. I don't know exactly how they'll respond. I'm not going to let those things prevent me from telling them. I am going to share my story with other people. Come on, all over this place today, will you just repeat this prayer after me? Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. I need your love and forgiveness. I believe that you are my Lord and you are my Savior. I want to surrender my life. I give you everything that I am so that I can have the life you created me for. I want to share this good news. Help me in this adventure of proclaiming what you are doing in my life with others. Father, I pray for people right now all over this place, God. God, I pray for those that lifted up their hand and say, I have found a good thing and I want to follow this good thing closely. God, I pray that today would be a brand new beginning in their life of following you closely. And God, I pray that tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, God, that they would just continue to discover, God, it's even better than they thought it was going to be on Sunday. And God, I pray for all of those that lifted their hand and said, I am ready. I am ready to share this good thing with others. God, I pray this week, God, this week that we would share with one person, God, what you are doing, that we would invite one person to come with us to church next week. Come and see what God is doing in my heart and in the hearts of so many others. And God, we thank you for it. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Hey, if you believe it, put your hands together today.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.